Welcome to episode 75 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barseski. Joining me this week is Alan Olson in our first week back in 2008. Hello, Alan.
Welcome back, Eric.
It's tough for us to really get in the mood given the 8 feet of snow and 4 degree temperatures we have outside, isn't it?
Four would be nice.
Yeah. It'd be an improvement.
Anything on the positive side of zero is a good thing.
That's right. We'll ignore wind chill for now. We will not ignore. It's kind of funny that the PGA Tour announced this policy last year, and it comes up in the first week, the playing cut, where basically they were having trouble getting people around 9 holes and not having to wait on like the 10th tee during split tee starts when they had more than 78 golfers make the cut spring and fall because there's less daylight. So they basically said if more than 78 players make the cut, they will cut to the next lowest number closest to 70. So, you know, 68 or 60 or whatever. All the players that are in that, you know, made the cut officially because, you know, they're top 70 in ties, it's a non-playing cut. They get credit for last place and official last place money, but they have no chance. They don't get to play. They have no chance to move up when really that's about all they could do. So it's kind of funny, though, that this happens in the first week back and that none of the tour pros seem to be aware of it.
I think right now that there's not a lot of people that are happy at the tour policy board at the moment.
They do, but I think some of the whining about this is a little weird. You know, people are quick to point out that Brad Faxon won a tournament, you know, when he made the cut on the number, but he didn't make a cut of, you know, where 18 players were tied at even par either. There was a note at the bottom of the PGA Tour article that said, in the past 12 years, 508 golfers would have been affected by this rule had it been in effect. None of them went on to win the tournament, and only one made it to the top five. 10, or 2%, reached the top 10. So this is better for them than if they said, okay, we're going to do the closest cut to 70, you know, and if it's 68 instead of 84, so be it. You guys don't get anything. You just get cut, right? So, I mean, are they kind of looked at a gift horse in the math here? Or?
Well, it just seems kind of odd that they're complaining about something that is, well, like you said, you brought up the stats. It's extremely rare that this ever happens at all.
Well, it's extremely rare that the players make anything of the chance when that many people are tied for last, basically.
Right. I mean, you barely make the cut. These guys are basically saying, really what they're saying is, we made the cut. Now we want to at least try to get into the top 50 so we can get some extra cash and some FedEx points.
Right. So to them,
not that we're going to win, but
right,
get some more cash.
Right. But to them, I say what I normally say: play better. Here's the thing: at the Sony or whatever, if even par was the number, and that was what the number were, 18 players were tied for even par. Any one of them that had made one more putt would have played. They wouldn't have been in that.
Perfect.
They wouldn't have been in that group of people that made the non-playing cut. We'll move on to another lovely, fun topic. We'll keep it short because I'm pretty sick of it by now. Kelly Tilman on the air. Nick Faldo made a comment in closing on Friday at the Mercedes Championship. He said something like the players would have to gang up on Tiger, the young players in tour would have to gang up on Tiger if they ever had a chance to beat him or to overtake the number one ranking. I think it came at the tail end of a conversation about some outrageous comments that Jason Day and people have made lately. Kelly Tilman jumps in and says, lynch him in a back alley. And then they kind of awkwardly chuckle and move on. Lynch being, you know, a somewhat racially tinted word. And even if you want to throw race out entirely, as I've said a few times, and just shove that aside and pretend that race is not involved here at all. Tiger, of course, being not white. She's still, you know, advocated jokingly, I admit, murdering someone on the air. So anyway, you look at it, you know, it's not a great thing that she said. And she was later suspended for 2 weeks, which is probably going to be drawn out to 3 because I can't see her coming back the week the Tiger starts his 2008 PGA Tour season.
Well, that would be slightly ironic.
And then 2 weeks later, despite the fact that Golf Week is a weekly publication, 2 weeks after the fact, David Senior and the Golf Week staff publish an issue of Golf Week that has a picture of a noose, nothing else, you know, no caricatures, no heads in it, nothing like that, just a piece of rope. With the subject caught in the noose, Tilman slips up and the Golf Channel can't wriggle free. You know, 10 pages of commentary on the entire issue. Senior gets fired, reportedly after he went on CNN and some other news programs, and his apology wasn't quite good enough, I guess. But it took Kelly Tilman 2 days to apologize. She didn't even apologize Saturday. It took her till Sunday to even apologize. So kind of a weird, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that if Kelly didn't deserve to get fired, and I don't think she did, then I don't know that the Golf Week editor deserved it either.
Yeah, probably not. Although, I mean, they've had 2 weeks to sit there and think about how they were going to discuss or editorialize the issue, and, you know, 2 weeks after the fact, let's throw a noose on the cover. I mean, they're there to sell copies. They knew they were going to get a charge out of people by putting that on the cover.
Certainly, but they're covering the news, and they're, you know, I would say that it's not. I mean, I do think, like I said, they shouldn't have waited 2 weeks to do it. They had an issue in between where they could have covered it. So I'm not sure what the delay was, but I'm not sure. It seems to me that the lesser offender got the more severe punishment.
Yeah, this is an issue that is just, not saying it's a minor issue. It's not, but I mean, the fact is, you know, yeah, Al Sharpton jumping in. Yeah, it's
that right there.
Teen skull. Yep.
Well, we'll move on. At least in golf, the stories are, you know, about figuratively murdering someone and not actually murdering someone. So, there's the bright silver lining in the cloud, perhaps, there, when you realize that. Our final article here is just a quick thing about the PGA Merchandise Show. I went this year. The building is a half a mile long and, you know, a tenth of a mile wide, and there's 10 miles of aisles. And yeah, it's really not worth going as just a fan. You know, I had some other things to do there, but as a golfer, there's not really much point in going. It's kind of fun to see all the stuff, but at the same time, 90% of what's there is either apparel or crap. So, you know, about the best thing to do is go the day before the show officially starts and go to the demo day and, you know, try out a bunch of stuff. I mean, that might work. The show itself is more for club pros to check things out, local sales reps to meet with the club pros and make some sales and do things like that. It's really not a consumer-oriented show at all. You know, I did see all the Four Inventors Only people there. Got to talk with Dean Thompson, of course. I talked with David Jones, who did the club caddy that won, that basically the big paperclip or the big clothespin. He told me that he hopes to have production in late March or early April. He's fairly confident about the early April part, at least, and so it should be available then. I will probably look to do an interview with him or something. Also, Gary Sherrell, who did the Club Glider bag with the wheels that pop out. Sun Mountain signed a deal with him. He's going to sell Club Glider. The minimum advertised price for the map price is going to be $259. It's pretty sweet. So if you travel, you know, I got a chance to drag it around the show floor and stuff with a full set of clubs in there. Bigger, it's a little bit bigger than most bags. There's some extra padding. You can put shoes, everything in there, and it rolls super smooth. Great idea. Probably could have won the show if more people traveled with their golf bag. But for those that do, you'll definitely want to pick that up. And at $259 or even $299, well worth it. A lot of the other guys were there. Of course, I saw everybody, but the Shaskin guy was there. I got to hear some behind the scenes stuff about the Four Inventors Only and how they edit. You know, the Hillshot people were there. The Pro Play GPS, which is basically a camera, not a GPS. They were there and had some improvements to their product. So interesting there. I also saw some of the Big Break people. Bree Vega was at the Speed Stick booth for a while. Ashley Prang was on the putting green for a while and things like that. We don't have new ads this week because Titleist has new ads, so we'll just talk about that briefly in place of the ad. But it's kind of nifty. If you go to the Titleist site, their advertising this year is how do you mark your Titleist. It's not how you mark your ball, it's how you mark your Titleist. So it's kind of nifty because on their site, they have one of those little doodling apps where you can draw on a ball, you know, on the website with different colored markers and different sizes and stuff. And you can actually, in our contest, if your marking is cool, it's kind of fun. You can go in there and show how you mark your Titleist. It's kind of nifty to see how the pros mark theirs in the commercials that you've probably seen.
That was pretty cool.
So there, that's our stand-in for the ad. Alan, go ahead and tell us about the forum topic of the week.
This week's forum topic is the worst things about golf. Pretty interesting just to kind of see what different people don't like about the game of golf. I think it's quite obvious what one of the leading ones is, and something that we talked about last year, is slow play.
Here, I thought it was going to be playing behind women. The worst part about golf is that we can't play right now, right?
Yeah. That's the absolute worst part.
Okay, so slow play is an obvious winner. Everyone is responsible for slow play. Wisecracks about women aside. Most of them, I believe, are actually slower, but that's because it takes 10 times to hit the ball to get halfway up the fairway. There are very good women, but I think on the whole, they're just, you know, not as strong, and most of them tend to be 80 at the place where I golf, so my opinion is not quite complete. But slow play is a big thing, and everyone is, like I said, everyone is responsible for that, and everyone could get better. We did a whole week on slow play last year. I invite you to check out those articles again. What other things were in the, one said snobbery here.
Snobbery, I'm not sure where that comes from. I guess
I don't either. Right. Ball hunters. This guy says ball hunters annoy me more than anything else. Well, if that's your biggest annoyment, man, you got no problems.
Cheaters, an interesting one.
Cheaters. Yeah, that's good too.
We don't follow the rule.
That's a common topic on our forum is people that cheat, or, you know, what rules would you break, or what rules do you break all the time, or what rules should be changed? You know, oh, I hate David Tinder fairways. They'll say, I mean, you know, I always move my ball. It's like, okay, well, you're cheating. And then, you know, people will get indignant and be like, you're not playing golf. cheating, slow play. You know, the expense may be in there somewhere because it is an expensive thing to get into. But everything's expensive. Put it that way. I don't know what the cheapest hobby would be. Sleeping.
Totally near.
Sleeping. This is where we normally put advertisement number two for Titleist. So again, I'll just say go to Titleist.com. They've been a long time sponsor of the site. They make good stuff.
And they released new irons and a new Scotty Cameron putter.
Well, not yet. In March. But you can read about it on our site, so do that too. We'll move on here to our beating balls segment. A couple of quick stories here. DJ Trahan comes back from four shots down to win by several, beating Justin Leonard, who held the 72-hole lead. It's a 90-hole event. Yeah, Justin never really had it. He shot a 72, and DJ Trahan shot a final round 65, which is not incredibly low at the desert courses, but certainly low enough to win by two or three.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big thing on Sunday was he went low, and, you know, you had Kenny Perry shot well. He came and played well, and Justin Leonard really didn't do much of anything. So, you know, combination of him not playing well and Trahan rate.
Led the tournament in putts per round and putts per green in regulation. Putts per round of 26. Putts per green in regulation of under 1.6. So anytime you do that, you're probably going to do pretty well. Again, that goes back to Dave's 40-30-20-10 rule. 40% of the game is putting, and he was first, so there you go. Justin Leonard starts off well after finishing last year pretty well. He won a tournament last year in the fall series. I don't believe Justin Leonard is going to the Masters at this point yet, but certainly he will if he wins. DJ Trahan is now going to the Masters. You chose this next article here about the weak field at the Hope. Take a guess before Alan tells you. Who was the highest-ranked player in the field at the Bob Hope?
Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's 24th player ranked in the world is Stuart Sink. Which begs the question, what were the other 23 guys doing? Obviously, we know Tiger doesn't start off quite this early, but Phil usually plays this event. However, it seems like the rest of them have decided to go over to the Middle East to play.
Yeah, there's a bunch of players at the Abu Dhabi Classic. Steve Stricker, Patrick Harrington, Henrik Stenson, Nicholas Foss, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, they were in the desert. Next story here, real quick, Vince Cellini, who was working several months, month to month, kind of, on the Golf Channel and then left towards the end of last year, is now back. Not sure what he did in the meantime, but he's now back at the Golf Channel. He actually hosted the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic and I think did a nice job. So I'm not sure what he'll be doing now that he's back again, but probably doing the same kinds of things. It's too late for him to fill in on the big break that they're filming with all the women. We'll have to probably put up with that crappy guy again. You know, honestly, I mean, I racist potential marks aside and stuff, I never really cared for Kelly Tillman as an announcer. And I think Vince and Nick Faldo, and even, dare I say it, Rich Lerner and Nick Faldo were an upgrade over Kelly and Nick Faldo.
I would have to agree. I would think that maybe the Golf Champ put Vince back in and kind of let this thing simmer a little bit more with Kelly, especially with Tiger playing the next couple weeks.
Let her do interviews or something. She's just not working for me as a booth announcer. So last story of the week, John Daly is suing the Honda Classic, the insurance company, the Honda Classic, because there was a story last year about how a woman who did not have a badge snuck in and took a picture of him in his backswing. He hurt himself. So now he's decided to sue the Honda Classic. The Honda Classic, of course, support one of the Jack Nicklaus charities that supports children's hospitals and things. And, of course, Daly was given a sponsor's exemption to play in it last year and has asked for one this year as well. And, of course, John Daly went on to play 17 more tournaments after the Honda Classic last year, all on sponsoring exemptions and past champion status and all that. So how much he was really injured, not quite sure. But yes, he's decided to sue.
How many of those 17 that he played after that did he actually finish?
Very few.
Yeah, between the withdrawals and, yeah.
The temper tantrums. You know, I'm over John Daly, and I was last year, and I really don't care. Common sense would tell you, if you're looking for sponsors exemptions, you don't sue a tournament host, because I wouldn't invite you if I thought there was a chance you were going to sue me after the fact.
No, I can imagine.
He's looking a gift horse in the mouth at this point, especially to file suit a year later.
Guy must need some money for alimony.
That's right. That about does it for episode 75 of the Golf Talk Podcast. We'll actually publish this one on like our year in review podcast that was lost to the ether, i.e. laziness over the holiday break. we held on to it so long that it was no longer really relevant. So plus it was like 40 minutes long.
Yeah, which is probably about 35. No, never mind.
Yeah. About 45 minutes too long. But that does it for episode 75. You can check our show notes out Wednesdays at thesandtrap.com. We invite you to participate in our forums at thesandtrap.com/forum. If you have any ideas for the show, if you have any comments, if you have a voicemail you'd like to send us as an audio clip, or an email you'd like us to read on the air, send that to podcast@thesandtrap.com. If you can't figure out how to spell podcast, just sound it out. Hooked on Phonics. Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
Me too. ringing endorsement.
Thanks, and we'll talk to you again next week. Now that our show has started again for the year, we'll be doing it as usual weekly. Take care.
See ya.